they're, you gotta look at it like impressionable kids, right? Kids see that working nowadays and they're like, that's working, I'm doing that. They don't know like the workings in, like in between it. They don't know what it took to get to that point, right?
Right.
You gotta understand, like a person on Instagram, yeah, you saw that video, but let's be honest, there's people hidden behind the scenes that could have pushed it, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna put it on Instagram now, right? You put it now, and this person's gonna repost it, this and that. Whereas YouTube, sometimes it's like you can't really go on someone and ask someone, hey, can you put it on their channel? Because they might say, well, who are you? One, why am I putting this on my channel? I'm doing you a favor. But with Instagram, there's so many like behind the scenes things that could happen as well, right? So I think it's an interesting concept where it's, I think there's so many platforms, but people kind of just look, and whatever works at that time, they're going with Instagram. You know, and I think that's the weird thing about it. So when you see a person that may have lower likes on Instagram, and then, or like lower views on YouTube and highlights on Instagram, it could be just the climate, you know, of the song. It could, there's so many different factors.
Right. So, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Once again, you know, I think that what happens is that we kind of base, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The artist, mm-hmm. right? So here it is. You travel. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to New York, right? Mm-hmm. Most artists here in New York will not travel.
You're the third person to tell me that.
And I'm gonna go back to you. Can you come here and you give me a history of New York City artists?
Yeah.
An artist from our borough here in New York. Yeah. Man.
But let me ask
you.
Yeah.
Who? What? They are not investing in themselves. They are not stepping outside of their boroughs.
Yeah.
Nor are they stepping outside of the state of New York, where we have surrounding states. We have a New Jersey.
Yeah.
We have Connecticut. We have a slew of different states where it takes maybe 1 hour to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right? So now, once again, we go back to social, right? We go back to the social network, right? So the difference between what I'm saying is that a lot of times, I do shows. I do a slew of different types of shows, right? Where the headliner has to work. So if I'm like an A&R to the streets, if I heard Tony Rock was killing them in the streets, you know what I mean, music wise, I get in contact with them, right? The first thing they do is go to my Instagram. It doesn't mean a thing to me no more, because of course we know that with some they're buying, right? They're buying views. Then there's some that's organic, right? Once again, I'm not saying that I use that as a definition or just something to define an individual, but I look across the board. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah, that makes
sense. And I've at times, and when I initially embarked on, you know, doing the shows, right?
Yeah.
I would use that. I'm like saying, okay, because of evolution, right? Now you're saying, okay, this Instagram shit, right? Let's just look at the inception of it. Instagram, wow, they're killing them. You know what, I'm gonna book this artist.
Yeah, and then when they go,
man, they don't have not a soul out there. You know what I mean?
See, and that's the thing, because I think your point too, what makes sense is, you say you still looked in the streets for it, so you're still.
I look at everything,
but see, the thing is, I think because how you're looking at it from saying what's going on in the streets, that's still good because you keep an ear to that.
Of course.
But see, here's the crazy part. A lot of these kids, and this is a funny thing. I remember I was in a barbershop, right, and a kid came up to me and he was like, my barber was like, oh, he does music or whatnot. So he was like saying about like freestyling, right? And he was like, yeah, maybe we could drop some stuff on the phone. And I was like, man, I never really heard, because I know like freestyling to me is like you're in a cypher, maybe radio, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And I was like, man, it's a new generation, because I try to understand it. Like I really certain people I work with, they're like music lovers. It's not, they love hip-hop, yes, but they look at it across the board.
So
I look at it and I say, well, let me step back for a second. These kids nowadays, like, you have to look at what their influences are. Do you know what I mean?
If
I grew up, like, let's take Big L for example, right? I grew up on Big L, there was no Instagram, right? Listen to Big L, you get the music, you get the raps, you're like, wow, this is good. You even go and someone might burn you a CD with his, like, freestyles and things, like, underground freestyles. You listen to that, and then rappers that like him or people that are coming up, they imitate that.
Right.
They say, okay, you know what? And then think about it this way, it's crazy. Nowadays, the artists that maybe come from, like, they might come from that era and they grew up on Big L and KRS-One, whoever. Nowadays, it might be hard for them because they're like, how do I fit in or how do I navigate when those channels don't exist anymore? So then they look to Instagram, but then they might say to themselves, I don't know how to navigate. But these younger kids, I think that's just what they see. Do you know what I mean? Like, they see that, and like, if you look at it, one thing that always gets me, I was like, man, I don't like when people like disrespect the older artists, right? Because they laid the foundation. But what these kids look up to, you look and you say to yourself, well, if I grew up in that time, I might like these artists, and these artists are on Instagram, and I'm on Instagram, so that's what I'm following, right?
So and this is great though, but so once again, so it goes back to now. Let's look at you, 30s, right?
Yeah, of course. 33.
Yeah. Still young, right? Yeah. I see that as being young, right? Yeah, so you're like on that. I'm saying on that borderline, you know what I mean? Like, damn, man, I'm about to hit 35. Mm. Where am I gonna go with this? You know?
Yeah.
But in the same token, you listen to music.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just say music. Yeah. You're a worldwide listener to all genres of music, you know? And I think that, you know, as I did my homework and I'm listening to you, that took time, you know,
because
you were part of an era as well that really didn't want to hear too much about anything. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I ain't trying to hear none of that.
Yeah.
So now, right now, man, come on, that old school.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
See, and that's interesting.
All right. Yeah. Right. Sorry, this is good. So now, 33 years of age, right? 33 years. That's a good age, man. That's a good age, right? So, where are you now? Because we're going to go back. You're going to edit this correctly.
Yeah,
we just jump right into it.
I like that.
So. So you say to yourself, okay, I'm 33. What's the game plan, right? Because now I have a young artist, right?
Yeah.
25 years of age, right? Now, 33 years of age, there's still individuals that may have friends may be 25 years of age, right? So that's still part of your market in a sense, but not part of the sound, right? Where do you go with that? Like, how do you say, okay, do I sell my soul to sound like them? Or do I maintain a great sound?
You know what I've always said, and this is a fine line I go on. I've always said to myself that age to me doesn't even, like, I don't even factor age in.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you, I always say this to my barber. I'm like, man, if I'm walking in here with a cane, I don't care, right? Like, I'm confident in myself, like, in that respect.
Right.
And also, I do pay attention to the younger generation, and I always say that, regardless of who's hot right now, a lot of that music, not to diss anybody, but a lot of that music, if you think about it, they don't really listen to it a year, 2 years later. You know, you could still pop in Biggie, you could still pop in these things now. And I feel like when hip hop will change again, who knows what direction.
Evolution.
But say it goes into somewhere where it's like, you know what, rapping starts being a thing. A lot of people would be phased out because they never even practice on the craft. You take J. Cole, for example. He's a great rapper. He does a lot of the new stuff. If rap goes back to whatever it goes to, something more lyrical, skillful, he can just segue right into that
comfortably. Comfortably, like naturally.
Yeah. So even with the new record, like the Winning at the Races,
right?
Winning at the Races, when we were working on that record, I remember I wanted to do, I have this record, you probably on Spotify if you were looking, called Raw.
Yeah.
So that record, straight just rapping, you know, lyrical stuff and whatnot. So when we knew we were going to come to New York, I was like, man, you know, maybe having something that I could probably push to radio, whatever the case may be. So the producer told me, he said, look, you gotta do something that is gonna fit the times. It has to be current. He said, because if you do something like Raw, yeah, they might play it while you're there, but they're not gonna play that again. Like, you being there, okay, cool, we'll throw on your record. But he's like, you have to be current. You have to go with the times, right? And I was like, well, that makes sense. And he even said too, he's like, with the rapping of it, it's hard to say that people don't really listen to the rapping of it. You could be as lyrical, right? And they don't listen to that. Like, I know this young kid, he's like, I say 16, 15 maybe. And I watch him like listen to the stuff and I'm like, man, I asked him, do you listen to the actual lyrics? Does it matter to you? And he was just like, no, it's just the melody, man. It's just the melody to him.
Listen, so now this is great, right? So listen, I'm listening to you, right? So you walk in, right? You come in with like a diss. I'm in awe, right? Cause I'm like, man, once again, this guy is, I mean, hip-hop educated, right? So I don't even have to ask the question of who inspires you. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't even go for some, once again, the era, man, I go 10 years back, man. And let's just say 10 years ago, who was popping?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Certain individuals can't go back.
Of course, yeah.
Further than that, you don't went back.
Well, because you know.
So. Now I say fast forward now, you're listening to this producer, right? And he says you have to go with the times. When do you begin to dictate your direction, right? Because now you have the essence, you have foundation, right? Of what hip hop is, right?
Of course.
Where it come from. When do you begin to create direction, right? Because now, as you state, It's an ABC world right now.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you give them this, then where are you?
Yeah.
We need to know, right? Mm-hmm. When we look at that, right? When I need to know that, the enemy, right? When he gave me Raw, mm-hmm. right? That just stand the test of time. It mm-hmm. wasn't just, he just gave me that and I don't even want to get into him no more. He done sold his soul and everything else. We need to know, like when I hear J. Cole,
yeah.
like his new joint now, I'm like, all right, I see where he's going with it.
Yeah, of course.
J. Cole can just give you everything. Like exactly. He's one of my best, you know what I mean? But we need to know that you are that.
Of course.
Not the artist of today.
No, of course.
So how do you balance that?
So what I do basically is this, right? I remember when we were in the studio, to go back to the Winning of the Races. So we're in the studio and he was saying something to me that stuck out and it really helped me. He's like, man, you gotta change your flow a little bit, right? So for example, I have this record on the number one with a bullet EP, right? So the first line was motherfuck top five, I'm number one with a bullet.
Right.
Spewing straight through your speakers till I rupture my gullet. You gotta love it.
Right.
I rap about fuck shit. I rap with the hunger. So like I'm saying that stuff, right? And I'm telling you, that like that's the first of the intro.
Right.
Now, that's not gonna work in terms of even a single per se, right? It could be for like underground stuff, but I had to consciously say to myself, okay, you know what? That makes sense, and kind of see what's going on. And a true MC can go to any style.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. A true KRS-One could do trap music.
Yeah.
Easily go back to hip hop. Because mm-hmm. it's not, and no disrespect to the new stuff, but if you look at it cadence-wise, right? So the Winning at the Races, I start real obnoxious with it. Still on top when I spit it.
Mm-hmm.
Got that fever like style.
Right.
So I get it. That's the thing, right? I can segue back and forth. So what I try to do is I say, okay, I try to look at it from a standpoint of advice I would say I watched on a documentary from Kumo D.
Mm-hmm.
He said the average fan is a music fan. When I might have seen that when I was 17, right? It was on that Beef documentary.
The Beef, right.
Yeah, so he said the average fan is a music fan. So he said they're not listening to lyrics like that. And I remember earlier on in my career when I would have like, you doing lyrical stuff on maybe, let's say crossover beats here and there. And I remember playing and someone didn't understand, like the cadences and stuff in the lyrics, they were like, and I didn't get what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me and I said, man, it's like an average music fan. So you have to, as Jay-Z said, dumb it down. I didn't even understand that. When he said that, I got what he was saying. And I looked into interviews and stuff and he said, he knows how to take his foot off the pedal when he's doing certain songs. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because if you look at it, Reasonable Doubt, right? Very underground, but very complex, you know? And then it took him a little minute to get into just dumbing it down. And I think he figured out the formula.
So what's your formula?
It's pretty much that. Like, you know, I'm not saying I'm copying him, but just the idea of, okay, when you're making a record and you know.
All right. Before we get into that, right? Mm-hmm. Who are you trying to cater to, right? Because once again, this is... The game has become this total autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
You can put out a great album,
yeah.
Right? Give it to the world.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
You can set up your own studio,
mm-hmm.
right? You can do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
As I see, you're thorough with it.
Mm-hmm.
Get a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do strategically.
Mm-hmm.
I need to understand what's your footprint because. Yeah. I need to walk away. So when Mac hit me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I marinated for a little while.
Nice,
right?
Nice.
I marinated. Yeah. I said, okay, I see where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said, okay, I'm trying to understand Elaine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I want to understand his character.
Mm-hmm.
Then I listened more, I paid attention. Then I looked at the titles of
your
albums, right? Because to me, mm-hmm. I don't see them as mixtapes.
No, of course not.
They like albums,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Appreciate
so when. When the write-up is dead, no pun intended, whoever wrote it, I mean,
yeah.
I see the mixtape, I just get like, damn, man, he just gave a full-fledged
yeah.
a song.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's not even a rap song. It's
yeah,
like, a,
yeah.
you know, you have joints where you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Where do you go with it? Because you have, let me see, what was the first, your first title?
Smell Blood in the Water?
Yeah, there's a song on there that I'm like, I'm still married. Off
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, but
Addiction?
Yeah.
That's the one, okay.
Where I'm saying to myself,
yeah.
damn, man, but this is a couple of years ago.
And yeah, yeah.
It goes back to listening to the wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, damn, man, they didn't even catch up on this, man. This needs to be a fucking single right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, of course.
You see what I'm saying? So dumbing down, it's kind of hard, man. I hate that, like, coming up, I'm a Nas fan, it's my number.
Nice, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So I used to get mad, like, when they used to be like, yo, he need better tracks. And I'm like, I hear that y'all listening to the tracks and everything, but did you hear what he just said?
But see, the thing is, and that's the thing, that criticism is weird to me with from Nas, not like to Nas. When
right,
say
right.
It's weird to me because I look at Nas and I say, it reminds me of Tupac, right? In
right.
terms of not, obviously lyrically they're different, but it's in terms of they're being deep, right? So when you look at it, Nas is giving you deep, like, wordplay, and he's giving you things like you can live your life off of, right?
Right.
You can't put that on an in the club type beat.
What are you looking for, though? This is what I'm saying. So, but that's what I'm saying. You,
yeah.
I'm trying to understand, are you, and this is,
yeah.
And let's get specific.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get signed to a major?
No.
Do you want to maintain indie?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we say indie, are you looking to get signed to a good independent label?
I would say my goal is to, I want to do it on my own. And what that means is, like, I want to retain my master's,
mm-hmm.
publishing. I wouldn't sign a record deal because, like, I think, again, the misconception, people think, like, oh, you're getting this big check, right? And we can get into that after, right? I don't want to segue, I want to tell you, like, the style and stuff
like
that. But I feel like, for me, what I represent, like, I represent being independent. And I think, when going back to the whole stylistic,
right.
That's what I want to segue into. Basically, I don't want to come off and say, man, I can do everything, right? But my whole thing is this, when you heard Winning at the Races,
right.
If it wasn't, like, necessarily for you, there was something there that you heard and you're like, whoa, this right here. And the reason I can do that is because I feel like even when I have a conversation with somebody, right? They can be a person that is from the streets, I'm not from that,
right.
But I can have a conversation with them,
yeah.
And we could talk about that or whatever and talk and be cool. I could talk to somebody maybe from the burbs or something, right? And then have a conversation. I would take that and infuse it in music. So for example, if I'm making a record that's more commercial or whatnot, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing lyricism because I'll lyrically do things in there, wordplay. I think I did things on Winning at the Races that people, it would go over their heads, it's just words to them. And that's fine if, from a personal standpoint, I say to myself, I didn't sacrifice my craft for this record. You know, I still was me. I just did it, maybe I dumbed it down a little bit, but dumbing down doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think if you totally dumb it down, you're like A, B, C, and you
right,
the
right,
whole thing,
right.
No metaphors, you're mumbling on the record, and that wasn't you to begin with, I think then that's a different story.
Okay.
But I think you could dumb it down
clarity.
In a way.
We needed some clarity.
Yeah, like I think you could dumb it down in a way, like Jay-Z on Hard Knock Life. Amazing record, right? He dumbed that down compared to making short-term goals, mm-hmm. When the Weather Falls. That wasn't on Hard Knock Life, you know, that single, but he was able to do the simple stuff by, like, just watching the game.
Can I ask you this, man? 33 years of age. I keep going back to that,
no,
man.
No, it's all good, man.
Man, your references is incredible.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You reference something, like, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Today's time.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a few artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to say, man, I like a young thug, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because I ain't going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit here and give you all history and anything, but when I need to get in the zone,
yeah.
A zone,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna throw in T Glizzy, I'm gonna throw in Future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't necessarily mean that I don't like a Nas.
Of course.
That I don't love a Nas, a J. Cole, a Kendrick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Give me someone that kinda inspired you. And when
like
I say
nowadays,
right nowadays, yeah. And when I say inspire, it can be the music, it can be their hustle,
okay.
It can be their structure of business.
I like, first and foremost, if it's, I'll keep it to newer guys, right? Nipsey Hussle, right? So the reason why I like what he represents in terms of the independent thing, how he grinded it out for a long time. He was offered deals or whatnot, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that. And then something stuck out to me. I think 50 might have given him this advice. He said that, he told him, don't sign. He's like, because you don't have sales history at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, so when you sign, you can just go off with that first album, that can be your first sales history. But he's like, you're putting out mixtapes, don't, because if you don't have sales, like if you put out an album, indie, and your intention was to get signed, and it didn't do kind of well, they might base your budget on that and your promotion on that. They're, oh, you did 20,000 independently,
right.
We're not gonna really get behind it, right? And I think some artists, they get confused by that, but he stuck to his guns. He said, no, I'm doing it this way, to the point where he got what he wanted. Like, it seems like he got the deal that he wanted, and he's still doing it his way. Like the Rap N Words one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he went, I like that video because he was saying in the song, he's saying to you what he's doing, you know? I own all the rights to all my raps. And I was like, geez, like, that's amazing that he did that. So, like, Nipsey Hussle is definitely top of the list type of thing. I like J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I like J. Cole because he, despite what goes on, he finds a way to still do his thing, but kind of do the new style, and still open people's eyes to, like, what's going on. I think worldwide, when he says middle child, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if many people know this, but on that chorus, he uses autotune, right? To represent, I think, the newer, like, cats or whatever, the new generation. And then when he goes into the stuff about the older cats, the autotune's off of it. And
right.
It's more of like a hip-hop.
Right, right.
And he did that in one chorus simultaneously. So that to me is genius, how he does stuff like that. And I think the fact, like, it's, when I look at guys like him, I have a question. I was like, man, would they ever win a Grammy? Not that it matters.
Right.
But I say, man, he's really doing, like, hip-hop. And he still does it in a cool way. Because you have to look at it this way, right? As hip-hop as J. Cole is, if he did something old school, maybe older guys would be like, man, I like this. But if that's not working, with someone like Jay-Z say, you know what? I'm going to get behind it the way it is. He has to know how to make music, because Jay-Z does that.
Right, of course, clearly.
So, like, I would say Nipsey, J. Cole. I like Young Thug for what it is. You know, for what he does, whatnot. And I think in the beginning, I was like, man, what's going on here? But then I look at it and I say, these guys are doing something different. And what it is they can't do the lyrical stuff or they can't do the hip-hop stuff. They found a way to make music.
Right.
And I think it comes down to, for them, they're music fans. They're fans of music. If you listen to one of his records, what's the record? Anybody, Nicki Minaj. It came out on the EP.
Yeah, I know you're
talking. So that record, I listened to it and I'm like, man, it's just a good record to feel good to. You're vibing to that record, right? So that's what that is for. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't put that on if you're trying to get hype for, like, a rap battle or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what it is. And I think that's, I've always said, like, the disconnect between, I think, older artists and new artists is older artists, and it's just my opinion, older artists, I feel like they want traditionally how rap should, like, was, you know, like, boom bap, traditional rapping. You fast forward and it starts getting to this, they're kind of like, what, this is not what we built and what we did. This is not how it's supposed to be, right? And another thing is that we get a little deeper with it. Hip hop for a long time was commercialized. Like, again, if you don't mind, I'll go back to the history or whatever before I
get into I like thing. This guy here.
Because it's just like my
instinct, I like this guy, all right.
If you look at, think about this, the first hit was Rapper's Delight, right?
Right.
That was a commercial hit, right? That was a commercial record. That record, ironically, hip-hop has an issue with ghostwriting. One of the parts on that was ghostwriting.
So here's the thing. I want to get into the concept, right, of your name.
Okay, nice. You're going to like this.
And, right, so when he first sent it to me, once again, I'm like, I got to figure this shit out, man. I was looking for the parentheses. I needed a breakdown.
Yeah.
The Enemy.
Okay, so if you're familiar with Toronto, at one point they were called the Screwface Capital, right? So
why is that?
A lot of internal hate. You know, I think we don't, again, going back to New York, we don't have what you guys had in terms of labels. Whether or not people leave or not, that's a different discussion, but we don't have that in terms of hip hop, right? I've done interviews where I've said that before, and people, I think they took it a certain way, and I was like, well, I don't care, because I know what, I'm talking about, like, my experience.
Right, of course.
Like, right, so these are my experiences, so I'm just saying from my standpoint. When I first got into hip-hop, I was looking at it, obviously New York hip-hop was a thing to me, and I'm listening to it, and I'm saying, man, these guys, you know, got a demo together, they may have met a DJ, depending on who it is, and they kind of got like that. So when I started, I was like, okay, let me try and maybe link up with certain people. You probably heard it in my style. Eminem was a huge influence on me.
Right.
And I remember in the beginning, I think it was 15 or something, he met with two producers, the Bass Brothers. They did, like, his earlier
work. Right.
They, like, nurtured his style and everything. So to me, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's the way to get in. I was looking around Toronto for maybe a mentor or something. It wasn't happening, right? I understand that now, like, my age now. I'm like, you know, you can't really go out and be like, hey, hands out, help me. I get that, right? But I was thinking hip hop, like, speak the same language, rapping or not. So that was weird to me in the beginning. And then I was used to think, man, okay, my neighborhood, again, going back to history, you kind of make it in your neighborhood. You, like, have a name in your neighborhood, right? Like, these legendary rappers, they said it, man, in the park, or, like, you know, so I'm looking at that and I'm like, man, that's what you do. But I, again, going back, some of my friends and people around, they were probably music fans. Hip hop, yeah, they liked hip hop, but, like, living it and maybe wanting to go to the Bronx, you know, like, wanting to do that or just understanding the culture and, like, really reading deep into
the
it.
The Enemy.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So.
And he gonna give you, I love this guy
so
here, man.
So here's the thing, right? So that that whole situation, I'm like, man, I'm not getting any kind of love from this. And I'm thinking, I would see rappers and I'm like, man, you're not putting in the kind of work, even to get better at the craft of it, you're not putting that in. And I'm putting this in and they're not giving me that love, right? So again, I'm a fan of professional wrestling, right? I like the bad guys in wrestling. I like the bad guys in movies, mm-hmm. as a lot of people do. Scarface, all that stuff, mm-hmm. they, right? So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm the enemy. Metaphorically, what that'll mean is if somebody doesn't like my stuff, for whatever reason, I can be like, I'm the enemy, you're not supposed to like me. So for me, I'm like, that's like a way to deflate that, right? If they don't like me. And then it kind of stemmed into sometimes being like, you know what? I'm going to be the opposite of what's going on, right? And ironically, it's like, You can go back and say, well, you said you would make records that were different, but it's like, you gotta play the game at the same token, right? But I don't make only commercial records. I can do other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that whole thing, it stemmed from that. Like, the enemy, I'm like, well, in the beginning, it's like, yo, the kind of naysayers or whatnot, that's where the name stems from. It's like, I'm the enemy, not of the rap game, but just, I'm the enemy, you're not supposed to like me. So now, in this new era, if comments come and they're like, man, F this guy, this is garbage, I'm like, it's cool, like, I don't care,
right.
I'm the enemy, it's one of those things, and it's like, it's funny to me, because if you look at a lot of movies, and I'm just gonna show you something that's crazy, if you look at a lot of movies, or even in rap songs, right, they say that name a lot, so every time now you hear the enemy, you're gonna think of me, think of Biggie's, what is it,
guy.
It's, I think it's, you're nobody till somebody kills you, he mm-hmm. says, make the rich the enemy and take their cheese. That can mean a double meaning, you know? Like, you can do that. DMX said, break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats
are
breaking.
Let me tell you something. I like this guy, right? This is the type of guy that builds websites and strategically look at the points, right? The keywords, right? Keywords. This is how you get them views, man. You look at them keywords on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, when you build a website,
of course,
right?
Of course,
you know, they, oh man, I like this guy right here. I smell what you cooking, man. I smell what you cooking. So now, right, you gave me a layout, man.
And then I'll show you something that's even crazier, right? I've never said this on a platform before, so I'll make this the first time. The spelling comes from Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt album, The Evils. So the song, at first when I spelt it, because that was my favorite song on the album. So when I spelt it, it was D and then enemy spelt properly.
So let me ask you something, right? Mm-hmm. Do your name itself create dialogue, right? Because mm-hmm. now, once again, as an artist, right, mm-hmm. there's something that has to stand out.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. Like I said, I deal with a myriad of artists, and mm-hmm. sometimes character means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I can say, you know what, I will work with this guy. I can talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He can give me convo. Man, you gave me all of that.
Yeah.
But the name itself,
mm-hmm.
if I was just out and about, I'd have said, you know what, I like that, man. Yeah. Is that common?
That happens.
Yeah.
But sometimes people look at it and they're like, what does that say? And it's cool because...
How do you dumb it down?
Well, I tell them, I'm like, it says the enemy, but they're like... Like, I'm a bit of a troll, right? Like, sometimes someone will be, like, looking at it and, like, struggling. They're like, duh. And I'm looking at them struggle, and I'm thinking, man, you're an asshole. Like, guys, what the damn thing means. Like, duh, you're like them struggle. Because some people don't. But some, I know, again, this kid was like, man, I didn't know your name meant the enemy. And I was like, really? You didn't know that? And he's like, because I thought he knew for the whole time, right? Because his dad told me, he's like, oh, the enemy or whatever. And he knew. So some people get it right away. And then some people, they don't because how it's spelled phonetically. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And then again with the D apostrophe, they don't know how it's, they don't know what it means, right? So, you know, I tell them. And then sometimes too, when I don't want to tell people I'm doing music, like I ordered pizza last week. Someone was like, what is that? And I'm like, the enemy. He's like, oh, the music group? And I'm like, yeah, it's the music group, whatever. You know what I mean? One of those things or whatnot. But that's where the inception of the name.
Man, you D. So I want to get back into the music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So strategically,
mm-hmm.
your last album,
mm-hmm.
give me the name of it.
Number One With A Bullet.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, you just, that shit just sound like a movie or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it has some with that, right?
Like, well, the thing is, that came about, so again, I'm comfortable to say this because I know, like, you've seen this a lot of times. Every rapper feels like they're the best, right? And I'll take a quote from Tupac. He said, he was, this is a different subject, but he said when he went out to LA, he was scared. He's like, he didn't know the gangs and stuff or whatnot. And he's like, but now knowing about it, he's like, I can come out here, like, you know, I can get love or whatever. And he's like, so I'm not being cocky. So when I say that, I'm not being cocky. I feel like every rapper feels that. Some say it more outlandish, like they, you know, tweet about it, whatever, to each his own, right? But every rapper feels that way. I don't think I don't think there's one rapper that doesn't, and if they don't, 50 Cent said one time, he's like, find me a rapper that doesn't feel like he's the best, and he'll be unsigned, or someone who's just playing around. That always stuck out to me, because I didn't feel like that when I heard that. And I was like, man, what is he talking about? And then, again, they do this segue where every rapper's like, I deserve a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Mobb Deep was like, Prodigy's like, yo, number one rhyme dude's in this game, and I kept seeing that. And I'm like, man, that's a real thing. And again, that's like even going to the law of attraction, getting deeper. Rappers naturally, like they put words into the universe and it comes back to them. These rappers, they're not here by accident. And these guys are saying, I'm the best, period, right? That's why they get that far.
Do you feel, because now there's a game plan, right? You're a thinker.
Yeah.
Strategically, your every move is so calculated, right? You put out an album. I mean, once again, if you look at just your name itself, right? Mm-hmm. So now you put out a title. Let me ask you, do you have a team, like a team definitely, that helps you sort of select your songs?
See, that I have no problem taking input and things like that. What I do, I like to keep it where it's me and the producer, or the producer I'm working with. I work with a guy out of New York, Omen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's dope. I work with him. He can give me hip-hop. When I want to just spaz on stuff, I can say, man, I want to get this. John Bonus, he does like most of my production. Mm-hmm. And again, he's more like overall music and let's just make the best song, right? So for me, what I do, if I wanna go and make an EP or a single, I might call John up and be like, look, I got an idea. I have something on my mind. I wanna do this. From there, the text message gets to a phone call. We like, you know, get out the time or whatever. I might go out there. And then we start to strategically figure out what song we wanna do. Like the Winning at the Races, we sat for an hour and spoke. And I was thinking to myself, is this normal? Like, do you, when you go to the studio, I'm like, you're sitting for an hour, like time is going, right? You know, so I'm thinking to myself, is this normal? But it was just how me and you were having a conversation. Whether or not camera was rolling or not, getting to know each other and the vibe is right. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So that works in music.
You have learned how to dictate direction, right?
Yeah, of course.
And that's what I'm saying. So you see how, you know, we put something out in the ether, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When did you put your album up?
That EP came out 2017.
That's your latest.
The recent one. The Winning at the Races came out last year, but it picked up steam at the end of last year.
Okay.
That's why it's like been promoting it.
Right. So and that's what I'm saying. So do you feel that you're at a point where now people are paying attention?
I do feel that. I feel like sometimes it's hard to see it physically because in Toronto, again, like when you walk down the street, it's not New York, I know you could see a rapper down here. Hey, man, what's going on? But Toronto has a different culture. You see what I'm saying? So I ran into somebody that I grew up with. He's like, hey, my mom heard your EP and played it for me. I was like, oh, I appreciate that or whatnot. So he heard it and different things. So I do see things. I do feel like people are paying attention. I feel like it was a slow build and a slow catch up because I'm not doing what's like current in a sense of rapping. I think musically I am, right? There's certain things I'm doing musically that's current, but in terms of rapping, if you listen, like which you did, you heard more of a throwback thing, but it was on current beats.
Right. So, in the sense that there was a slow process, as you may say, right?
Yeah.
Do that dictate how you promote, right? Right? Because now I put out a sound, put out a nice body of work.
Yeah.
Month or so passed.
Yeah.
We know it's ABC World.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, that single was mean.
Yeah.
Nobody caught on.
Yeah. I got, yeah. Like,
walk with me.
Yeah, I like.
Damn, man, this single didn't. Oh, man. Frustration seeks in. I'm about to put something else out.
Mm-hmm.
Who helps you, right? Monitor or like, cause once again, I gotta go back to team.
Yes, of course.
I've heard producer. When do teams step in and say, you know what?
I think I always have a vision and then the team, so people that market or help market or whatnot, what happens is once I have the record, I have an idea in terms of people that help market it or whatever, whether it's blogs, whatever the case may be, coming out here, whatever that is, we all basically know from jump, before I even go into the studios, maybe some of the people that help market, they're like, you know what, we should do a new single. Before I had to come out here, that was the conversation. I wanted to come here for a number one with a bullet.
So right.
I had put that out and I was like ready to go, and then Magic, he was like, yeah man, I think you should do a new single. And I was like taken off guard because I'm like, we got a single on here, but then that goes back to, that was not a single like calculated. that was, this is the hottest record, the one that feels like right. it'll catch on the most, we're going with this one. So when he said that, I take it to John, and I tell John, like, look, I gotta come out there, we gotta do 5 singles. He sends me a text back, and he's like, look, that's not how singles work. He's like, when we were doing your EP, we were picking the beat, figuring out the beat, you liked it, cool, rock with it, right? He's like, a single's more fine-tuned. So that conversation with, you know, marketing people and different things like that, that conversation led to the new single and things like that. So sometimes it depends. It's like, if I have an idea now with the knowledge of the single, I could go back to John without talking to the marketers, knowing, okay, we're gonna do a single, I go in that direction.
So how long do you allow it to mature?
I will, see me, I promote it. Listen, man, I promote it like crazy. Like, I promote my records like crazy, because the thing is, and this is another thing with the newer generation, they put out a song and they're like, okay, cool. And they don't see anything, and it tricks them. When you look at a song, right, think of the biggest songs you know. They did not just put that song out and leave it. They put that song out, they maybe got it to radio. If that was
it,
if maybe
they DJ, worked it. They worked
it. Yeah, they worked it. But say, for instance, DJ's like, I'm not really feeling this record, right? They got to go elsewhere. Irv Gotti, right? Again, history. Like, you're going to be like, hey, you know so much. So Irv Gotti said when he would work a record, he would have his team going to work the record. And then if they didn't, like, if they couldn't get the person, the DJ, to do it, he'd personally call and be like, hey, I don't have that connection of calling. So for me, if radio doesn't work, I'm like, cool, I'll hit Spotify. I'll go on Spotify, promote it on there, I'll get on, like, playlists or whatnot, like, reach out to curators, have people reach out to curators. It'll win on that. You see what I'm saying? Like, it'll win on those ones. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long do you allow it to mature?
I think it varies per single.
Okay.
It varies per single, yeah. So for, okay, I'll give you an example. Bad AF, we had... There's a girl, Jessica Kylie, she's on Wild Now with Nikan.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was, I sent him a picture, right? And I was like, oh, would you talk to this chick? And he's like, yo, this chick follows me on Instagram, like the Jessica girl. So I was like, man, I had just put out Bad AF, right? Mm-hmm. And it was about females. So I was like, look, get her. Could you get her to put that on her page? She's like, yeah, I could try to ask. She liked the record. She put 3 videos of her like dancing, vibing to it. That's what made that record do what it did. Take that out the equation, the record's just what it is.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I didn't think of that. I just, the situation came and I said, ask her. You see what I'm saying? If that didn't happen, I would have to figure out what to do. Now, the record could have been out for 2 months and maybe something hits me 2 months. I'm always looking, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not just sitting like, oh, well, we'll figure out when it comes. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, you know what? Bad AF is out. I just put it out. What's the move? I even know the moves prior to putting it out.
And that's, and once again, that's strategic. Yeah. What's your game plan on hitting New York? Why did you come out here to New York?
So when we did the single, The Winning at the Races, right, we had put it out. Schedules and stuff got a little conflicted, so I couldn't get out there right as it was happening. But again, the record wasn't necessarily doing anything, right? So I said, you know what? I got to make this record do something. So when I do come out here, they check it on Spotify. They see, okay, this is getting some traction, right? It's not just like, well, hey, I never really heard this. And even if you didn't hear it, seeing stats behind something plays to anybody. Like, you're a person that will look at everything. But these new fans, they see what they see, and they're like, wow, this is nice. That can make a person feel, like a new generation person feel, like the record's hot when it's not. Not that I'm
out here. How long you been out here?
I've been out here for, what was it, like 3 days?
Have you met a goal yet?
Have I made a goal?
Have you met
a goal? Oh, of course, yeah, definitely, yeah. And I met goals that I didn't even set, but I had in my mind.
And that's a beautiful thing, yeah, right? Yeah. So you met goals.
Yeah, definitely.
3 days, you met goals.
Yeah, of course.
I like this guy, right?
We met goals on like 48 hours, I would say.
This is, I like him. No. Yeah, every move is so calculated, no. Right? How long you plan on staying now?
We're going to be out here for till Monday, like Monday afternoon.
I wish he was out here. He would have came to one of our cyphers. I got a Latin cypher going on.
Oh,
all
nice.
Latin artists.
Nice.
Like 21 Latin artists.
That is, I seen that on Instagram. And I was like, what is that? Like, I was looking at one.
Yeah. Strategic,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. Again, ciphers, that's dope that you still uphold that, right?
Yeah, you have.
But here's the thing, growing up in Toronto, that stuff doesn't exist the way people may think, right? You see, and again, not to get too much into Drake stuff, I know at face value, people might think, oh man, like, I wonder how he came up, right? He was working with guys in the States. Like, he went out and he made his rounds, right? You had to. That's how he did. Tory Lanez did the same thing. You gotta go to different places. That's how you, like,
mm-hmm.
I come here, you hear it, we get a good vibe, you might be like, man, send me some stuff the next time you have some stuff. I might tell you, I'm always up front. So if it's something where I'm like, yo, I don't know if you might feel this is more of a crossover one, you might vibe to it, but it might not be your thing, but I'll let you know. When I get that other thing, I'll let you know, whatever, if you haven't heard it, and this, and the third. But Toronto's a different type of thing, because what saved Toronto, I think, in hip-hop was the internet. Not that Drake didn't have a contribution. Of course, he put it on the map. But what saved it was the internet, because you got to look at it like this. Okay, you're in Toronto, right? You're sitting in Toronto. You don't know how to get into hip-hop based on just what you're seeing, right? When we're looking at it from TV, like, I will say to people, when you come out to New York, you don't really see news about Toronto. You see what I'm saying? We see everything in the States. Everything that happens, we're seeing that. So imagine hip-hop, everything that gets promoted to us. When we see Jay-Z saying, only dudes moving units, M. Pimp Juice and us, I'm sitting back as a kid and I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, okay, he called out all American rappers. I don't see any Canadian rappers. What do I go off of? You see what I'm saying? And not, as a kid, you're not dissing Canadian rappers.
So will you take that route? And put Toronto, right?
Of course.
Because we do need to see the face of it. Like, I know when I was coming up, you know, we were New York. Yeah. And then when NWA hit, right, we see through their lens.
Yeah.
We were able to, oh, that's what Kelly is. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they banging like that. They doing this. Yeah. We didn't know nothing about that. We didn't know they lingo.
Yeah.
And as years begin to progress, we got a full layout of what, right, of what.
Like the lifestyle, the
culture. Right, everything. Right. Yeah. So I think that, I know that you want people to see that, but we have seen it through multiple lens, right? Drake is that individual, right? He opened up that door, but there's a slew of different artists, right?
Yeah.
That, once again, Spotify, Google Music allows us to, right, venture out into now, because even though a lot of people may be ABC, this generation may be ABC, our generation, whatever, they are still doing their homework. You
of
know
course,
what I mean?
Of course.
So even with this, right? You know what's so crazy? This may do 5,000. Let's just say it may do 5,000 views.
Even if it did one, it's all good. The conversation.
Right.
It's
like, here's the great thing about that. They will do homework, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the type of individuals that's looking, right? And I want you just to be mindful of the type of individuals that look at my interviews are people of substance.
Nice.
You dig what I'm saying? That's what you know, you look at them now, you know what I mean? So you were able to give me a full-fledged artist, not an individual where when we doing editing, we gotta be like, oh man, he's saying this too much. We gotta cut this shit out. He has no etiquette whatsoever, you know?
Yeah.
So now, even this based on your etiquette, your deliverance, dudes might run with that and be like the ABC cat. This motherfucker speaks well.
Right?
So now you give him a chance to say, okay, I'm going to do a bit more homework. Yeah. So you have opened up a window, an extra window for us.
My thing is always this, right? And I will always say that I feel like knowledge is really good in any sense, right? I feel like if I come on here and on your platform and I don't have, like, again, etiquette, you know, I'm not looking you in the eye, I'm not giving, like, it's like you have to, like, again, I always go back to the culture of it, right? Is a culture that was born in the Bronx, in New York. No one can take that away from you guys. I think that's why I always say, for me, coming from Canada, and us seeing you and being influenced, like, you have to have that etiquette. I think you have to have the knowledge of it. And it's not me trying to be like, oh, let me impress you. Like, this is stuff I'm actually would watch. I still, like, you know, like.
Yeah, no, but I am a man. I'm getting ready to go do some homework right now. Based on what some of the stuff he said.
I still
can quote.
I still watch documentaries. I'll sit there sometimes and watch things that I've seen over and over, and I'll watch. Because I, remember I told you, going back to when 50 Cent said about the best rapper, I didn't understand that for years. I didn't understand when 50 Cent said rappers train themselves like boxers mentally. Never understood it, right? I started watching MMA. And I watched the lead up to that stuff. And I always say to myself, man, those guys, they both think they're going to win. And I'm like, one person's going to win, but they both think they're going to win. And I said, they're so strong in belief. They're convinced that they're both going to win. One has to lose. But the mentality is you're training yourself. Like, you're not going in there thinking you're going to lose. And that's the mentality a lot of rappers have. Again, I would say every rapper has that at one point. I think Young Thug, you take Young Thug, he's making his music, he's somewhere in his mind was like, I'm gonna do this.
So with that said, right, with that said, besides music, give me other things that you would like to venture into.
I was, you know, and this is long-term, I would love to open, I always said this was a really long-term goal because I haven't, in my mind, figured out how it would work. I would love to open up an institute that was for, I would say, rappers, hip hop rappers. And the reason I say this is because there's no school for it. All the stuff I learned was trial and error, right? Literally, metaphorically, I might have went outside and got punched in the face metaphorically because I didn't know. You see, I didn't have a person that grew up in hip hop that was like, nah, don't do that. This is what it is. Like, you look at, again, Nas, when he got his deal. He asks MC Search, yo, can you look at my paperwork? In Toronto, if someone sends you paperwork from New York, a lot of people might sign it because they're like, look, I got an opportunity. So, they don't know. So for me, I would love to open up something that would help artists navigate.
So hip-hop artists. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you feel that you where you at right now as, mm-hmm. as far as meeting goals musically?
In terms of what do you mean?
Like, I mean, as an artist, right? Yeah, yeah. As an artist, you've met, you know, small-term goals.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, there's other goals that you would like to reach and surpass.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you feel like you're at?
A scale of 1 to 10, I would say, this doesn't sound arrogant, I say 10 and here's why, right? Because, no, here's what, obviously I want to, that doesn't mean I don't have room for improvement. I'm saying the reason I say 10 is because as a kid when I was doubted, a person told me, I'm glad I get to say this on your platform, a person looked me dead in my face at the studio one time and said, you would never go to New York for music. And I was like, watch me, I'm in New York right now. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So like, I feel like people looked at me and they had small expectations, so I obliterated that. You know what I mean? So I feel like, in terms of other things I want to accomplish, of course there's things, right? But in terms of where I feel, because where I came from, not like literally starting from not knowing anybody to saying, you know what, I'm going to try and do this, I feel like I accomplished that. I don't care if people look at it and they're like, well, I don't even know who the hell you are. It's like, all that matters is how you see yourself.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So I look at it in that respect. Now, if you're asking me what I would want to accomplish, obviously things like that institute, possibly, you know? But not only that, I feel like if I had to pick one, I feel like money management, a real true money management, I don't know if it's an institute, a course, or whatever, for artists, because I feel like the money management of it is something that gets overlooked.
In closing, when are you working on your new project?
I got a new single coming out. I want to say a month and a half or 2 months. We're in the mixing stages, but again, the marketing, I can't just put it out on SoundCloud or like Spotify. So we're like going through that stuff, and once that's figured out, I believe in 2 months span, I'll have the new single. It's more of a crossover record, but the reason being, because we strategized the single. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to just be careful with that in the sense of this crossover. Music is music in this day and time. Even if it's stemmed from hip hop.
By the way, like I'm not like just like going.
No.
You're not gonna hear it.
No.
What the hell is this?
But from what I've gathered and what I've heard, I've heard a myriad of different sounds. You know what I mean? So when they hear it, they're gonna hear hip hop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Hip hop in this day and time, you can't even label it.
Yeah.
Nor, you know, because then they'll give subtitles and this and that. It's just hip hop.
Of course.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, I get that.
And being well read, well traveled, you know, it shows in your cadence, right? Right. This was we took sort of a non traditional approach, and it was, I don't know if it was an interview, it was just conversation, right?
Yeah.
It was so nutritional. This guy, I'm a talker. He got me beat, right? No, I applaud his every aspect of how he sees, you know, because when you look at, you know, you looked at hip hop, I kind of look at how you kind of navigate through life as a young black man, right?
Of course, yeah.
But it's obvious that you have to do homework in anything that you delve into, man. So the fact that you've done homework, man, we're gonna keep a great rapport going, man. Because I might have to reference a few things, Elroy. He might have to be in some type of documentary or something like this. I might have to fly him out here and get on one of these shows and tease some of these young cats, man. Because unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
What you need to do is work on a website, man.
I have a website.
No, not a
website. Oh, work. Okay,
education-based,
man. Okay, yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Because man, you reference, man, and this guy can quote.